What's going on, everybody? We're going to do something a little bit different today, because today I'm going to be sharing an interview that I recently did on the Pathways to Greatness podcast. And this is a podcast that's put on by one of my friends, Jeff Forrester. And the mission of this show is really cool. It's a podcast that's focused on helping people see that everyone has a different definition of greatness, and there isn't just one path to get there. So in this interview, Jeff asked me, what is my definition of greatness? We talk about that. We talk a lot about the connection between endurance and entrepreneurship, and how to manage the highs and the lows that you experience, how to overcome self-doubt, and some of the things that I've struggled with on my journey and how I have overcome it. And so it's just a really fun, kind of lighthearted interview, and I think you'll enjoy it. So here we go.
Hit record. And so I have a $30 Amazon mic that has worked quite well. I listened back to it, and there's a couple of times I think I lean back and you can't hear it, but otherwise I think you can hear it.
I think it's amazing. And when I first started doing my podcast, I actually just used my phone, and I just spoke into my phone and I recorded episodes in my bathroom. So I called it my pootio. So yeah, I mean, like, you don't really need a lot to get started and get in the game.
What made you want to start doing a podcast?
So I had always been into podcasts and always been into personal development for the past 10 years. And then it was when I found out I was going to be a dad for the first time that it created this moment of like, all right, are you actually going to do something with that? Or are you just going to keep like consuming content? So I ended up going to a Brendon Burchard conference. And it was at that conference where I realized I want to do something as a coach. That was really like my purpose, is to inspire and help other people. And so after that conference and after that meeting, I just decided I need to get in the game and I need to start with something. And so I started with a podcast. And I ended up doing 2 episodes, and then I gave up. And then a few months later, I had another spark, and I was like, if I'm going to get into it, I need to commit this time. And so then I decided to do a podcast every day for a year to fully like commit to it. And that's how I did it.
And when you say every day for a year, for the people that are listening that haven't done a podcast, that is a massive commitment, because it's not super laborious to upload, but all the other little things that they want you to do and put show notes. And I've gotten very lazy with show notes because people don't read them anyways.
Yeah.
But I mean, every day for a year, that's incredible consistency and commitment.
It was one of the hardest things that I'd ever done. And like, just being honest though, it wasn't like an interview like this, you know, interview 45 minutes, 1 hour, multiple hours. What I was doing was just short episodes, anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes, just sharing lessons that I was learning along the way in getting started with entrepreneurship and training for endurance races and trying to like find and live out my purpose. So it was really, part of it was teaching, but a lot of it was me processing and just learning and documenting as I was going.
Yeah. And so thank you for sharing that, because the 5 to 15 minutes, I find those really hard. And I don't know if I know I have stuff to share, but like I've only done it a couple of times because I haven't felt like this move in me to sit down and want to share my thoughts. It's very weird. I'll have no problem us carrying on a conversation, you asking me questions and I'll answer them. It's just something weird about me proactively wanting to project my thoughts out. And I don't know if it's the internal, like, I don't want to be confrontational, but it's not like I talk about anything controversial anyways, or if I want to force my ideas on somebody. I've been battling with that of, why am I not willing to share? Because there's some people like yourself that do a very good job of articulating their thoughts as they come up, or generating of, okay, here's what we need to do, and then creating that. That's where I struggle. And it's an interesting perspective for me to think about, because I want to do that and I've got to find it, but I feel this massive resistance to doing it. And so I haven't forced it.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I think it's common, as you know, like creating content, putting your heart and your soul out there, it can be a little uncomfortable to do that. But one thing that I actually want to tell you, I don't know if I've ever told you this, when we first connected through Everesting, you were one of the first people that commented on one of my posts when I first started posting on Instagram. Yeah, I have only been posting for a couple of years. And I remember, who's this Jeff guy that commented like, hey, see you on the mountain. And then I started following you. And I thought you did an amazing job with your with sharing like what's going on and sharing what's on your heart and your mind and all of your Instagram lives. And so you were one of the first people that I really looked up to and have modeled in terms of sharing what you're learning and sharing along the way. So I think that you do an amazing job of it. And I want to say thank you for just connecting with me initially. But I also think like for you, it's also helpful to find like, what is that style that you enjoy doing? Because that's the style that you will be able to sustain over the long term. But I also think that there's like this opportunity to experiment as well. So like, what are some of those things that you want to experiment with or different formats or what comes to mind for you?
So one of the things, and again, I'm like you, I listen to a ton of podcasts. Everybody, this is Mario Menart. And so I'll have an intro at the beginning that properly introduces you.
Perfect.
But I'm just happy we jumped into this. And then I am going to get to my would you rather, because nobody gets off without doing would you rather.
Okay, cool.
But, listening to all the different podcasts is, I have some friends that do podcasts and they do such a brilliant job. In an alternate, they'll have interviews, but then they'll share their thoughts. And I really enjoy those. And even, I think you listen to Nick Bear's podcast as well.
Of course. Yeah.
I think he does a very good job of going between interviews and then also sharing his thoughts and the things that he goes through. And so that's been some of the things that I want to be able to do, because like you as a coach, people need to hear my thought process and what they're going to be experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to figure out the best way, like you said, and I hope people heard what you said, is experimenting and being authentic, because that's sustainable. If you try to do something that's inauthentic, you're not going to sustain it and it's not going to have the impact that you want it to have. So I guess for me is just trying to figure out, what does that look like? What does that sound like? And I just have to do it. I just have to start that process of doing it. But I've felt like you, as I try to find the flow, and if I'm getting a lot of resistance, I've got to dig in and not force it, but figure out where is that coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like when I do my little reels on Instagram, those just, when they pop in my head, I just do them.
Okay, cool.
And so I try to do it that way. And I felt like if I said, okay, Thursday is my thoughtful Thursday, whatever it is, where I share my thoughts, I feel like I would be forcing that. And so that's why I haven't done it. Like originally I was going to release on Tuesday and then have some of my thoughts on Thursday, because that's how people do it.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to force it. And I felt just like I've hit spots in my life where I've journaled and I found myself writing for the journal, or for mm-hmm. what somebody else may read later on, not necessarily what I need to get out of my head and onto paper. And so then I feel like it's inauthentic. It's me just trying to, again, please other people that may read it one day, when mm-hmm. that's not helping me at all.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear you say that, because I actually remember reaching out to you after you did a solo episode on, I think it was the man in the arena quote. I remember you did like you read that and you talked about the value in that. And that's one of my phrases that I keep coming back to, like in those moments of struggle, when you're pursuing, you know, a big thing, like building a business or creating content. So I just want to share that with you, because I think you're doing a good job. I think you really are. And I think I would just encourage you to keep exploring those different ways that challenge you, but also stimulate you.
Yeah, that last part is the trigger. I feel that I've have this busyness season.
Oh yeah.
I don't even have the space to process my thoughts. Like I almost feel like I don't have, you've turned this whole thing around on me today. So
well, this is what happens when you get two podcasters together.
Exactly.
You start interviewing each other.
But it's like I'm so busy, I don't even know that I'm having a thought and I have any original thoughts, which is a problem because I've gone back and forth. I even was sharing with my wife just, I think it was last night, is that I was like, I need a hobby. But then I don't even know what to do. And I don't even have time to do it. And then I listened to Ed Milet and Brendan Burchard's episode yesterday. Did you listen to that one?
I don't think I saw it, but was it around like, you don't have time is like a lie?
Yes. And busyness and those things. So you had these two power thinkers sharing what they do and what they struggle with in their busy season. So it was perfect timing. And like you, I don't think anything that we listen to is by chance. And it was, I needed to hear it because I've been in this moment of my calendar's been running my life.
Oh yeah.
I need to run my calendar.
Yeah.
Because I just find myself just in this constant state of anxiety and worry, which I know most people do.
Yeah.
And I just have to get a handle on it. And so that may be where that's coming from, of not even feeling like I can sit down and have an original thought because I'm just trying to stay busy and grow and keep the family in order and being an Uber and
I mean, managing like family life and your career and being a good husband and, you know, prioritizing your faith, all of that is, it can be a lot. And that's where, like, one of the things that, because I've experienced this overwhelm and like, I don't have time. And that's probably one of like my biggest limiting beliefs that I've had to like overcome is like, I'm just so overwhelmed and I don't have the time to be a good husband or be a good dad and grow my business. And anytime I catch myself doing that, I try and tell myself, okay, overwhelm is a lack of clarity. So like, what are the things that I actually need to do today? Or how can I make the time, right? Like everybody talks about, it's like you make time for the things that are important to you. So I share that struggle, and it's one of the biggest things that I've had to like overcome as well in pursuing all the different hobbies and interests and challenges that we like to take on.
Yes. Okay, so let's go to Would You Rather, then we'll come back to this.
Let's do it.
Because I've got so, and everybody, when you get a chance, and I know Mario, he shared a little bit about this a second ago, but this was when hashtags were really popular.
Yes.
So when I started training for 290290, it's getting to the event, I followed the hashtag 290290. And that's where you popped up and I saw you train. And then I saw you on the mountain, which was killer.
Yeah.
Because as you passed me quickly, and then from that, then we've developed a good friendship through Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then this is the craziest thing, and then we'll get to Would You Rather, is I knew that Mario was in the Central Florida area doing an Ultraman event. So an Ultraman event is ridiculous. I just don't understand it. It's double an Ironman, correct?
Yeah, it's 3 days and 262 miles. It's an ultra triathlon.
Okay. So this guy was training and I was following along, and I thought your wife did a great job keeping track, better than she did this past weekend. And I only say that because she called herself out on it. But and so I was going through and I happened to, and I had no idea where the finish was. I didn't really know where you were. I knew you were somewhere in the Central Florida area. And so I'm driving home and I went a different route than I normally go. And I was coming through Windermere, which is a small town. It's got a very small central city part of the city. And I see these people running with yellow vests on. I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Maybe there's some sort of a run this weekend. And then I keep coming in and I see a few more people. Then I see the finish line. And I knew that your wife had made a post that I can't, it was like 45 minutes or so previously. And I thought, okay, I wonder if this is where Mario, this is Ultraman. That's got to be him. And I just felt this overwhelming feeling of pull over and just see.
Wow.
And I thought, I'm like, okay, he's probably not even here yet. There's no telling where he is, or he's already finished. But it was just this overwhelming feeling of pull over. So I pull
Amazing.
Over and I get out, and your brother was pacing you. And yep. So I'm walking around and I'm just looking to see, do I see anybody? Do I see your wife? Do I, you know, have I seen it? And I see your brother. And so I was like, wait a minute. He was pacing him. There's a chance that Mario's here. And then I look and there you were. You had finished what, 15 minutes prior?
Yeah, I had just finished.
I mean, the odds. And then, so then we connect. And so I'm like teary eyed because I can't believe that I got to see you. And then you shared the verse that was on your,
on your arm. I had written
the verse that I had seen that morning. And I saved the YouVersion app. You can save an image. And I saved it that morning.
That was crazy because, yeah, just I think that really is like God bringing us together in that moment. And that was one of the most memorable, special moments of my entire life is crossing the finish line after a 3-day, 260-mile race. And I was doing that with my brother. I was there with my wife and our two girls. And it was the hardest thing that I'd ever done. And I, at that time, I was just filled with so much love and support by everybody that was there. And then for you to get to participate in that as well was so cool. And just for anybody who is curious, like the verse was a 2 Timothy 1-7. And leading up to the race, I started getting so overwhelmed, so stressed. And I remember seeing this verse pop up on the Bible app. And it was, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but love. Love, power, and self-discipline. And it was those three words. And in that moment, I was afraid, like, could I do this race? And just seeing those three words, that became my mantra for the entire race. And each day I focused on one of those words. And it was, you know, fear, or it was love, power, and self-discipline. And just to have that, I had it written on my arm, and then just to see you had that as well. That was crazy. And it's also crazy hearing like your side of it, like what prompted you to be there in that moment. So really cool moment. Definitely.
Yeah. No, I like you, there's no question. It was the Holy Spirit that pulled me over, because I'm the first one to just not want to be bothered. And I'm just being honest. Like I pull over, like my wife makes fun of me that if she wants to go to a gas station or a restaurant and we're heading one direction, it better be on the side of the road that I'm on currently, because I'm not driving across the road to go to a restaurant.
She's you're like, the dad that's yeah, you're the dad that's like, not, we're not stopping until we're there. Kind of.
Oh no, I stop all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I pee constantly. So because I just constantly drink water. So it's like my son was proud of me. We went to App State a couple of weeks ago. And it was about a 9.5-hour drive. And so on the way back, I actually went almost 4 hours without stopping, and he was so proud of me.
Good work. That's awesome.
My eyeballs were floating, but other than that,
that's hilarious.
I was committed. Okay. Would you rather? Would you rather freeze time or go back in time?
Oh, right now I would want to freeze time because I have a 3.5-year-old daughter and a 1.5-year-old daughter. And I just want to like freeze time and just really soak up these moments with them, because I know how precious it is and I know how quickly things will change. So that's an easy one for me. Just freeze time.
Love it. Live without music or TV?
I'll definitely live without TV.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of music and I don't really watch TV.
So what do you like to listen to?
So when I'm working, I'll listen to like just some instrumentals and just kind of like light things to help me focus. But I actually also really like EDM, so electronic dance music. So like getting me like super hyped. And then I'll listen to a lot of worship music.
Okay.
So I'm kind of all over the place. But yeah, those are a few of mine. What about you?
Do you listen to anything when you train?
Yeah. Like usually I'll listen to podcasts or audiobooks. I find it's really easy for me to just consume like podcasts when I'm on a run or when I'm biking or something. So that's mainly what I do, podcasts.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And I listen to some music. I've just never been a big music person. So if I had to answer the question, I would live without music. I just love TV. I mean, I grew up watching TV.
Yeah.
And love it. But you know, from a music perspective, I'm all over the place. Like I don't have one particular genre. It's really whatever's on and what I'm feeling. So okay. Sometimes like when my son and I will work out in the garage, we'll listen to Van Halen, awesome. Essentials. And then I've gotten back onto a Creed kick. I just like Creed.
I also like
Nickelback too. So I know that.
Oh
that's
my gosh. People. Yeah, that's good. No, I don't judge. That's good.
But I listen to that. I love Beastie Boys is one of my all time favorites. And then like you, a lot of worship music. That's just what I like. So
yeah, it just gets you emotionally, like it kind of gets your heart, gets your soul. And I like that feeling.
Yeah. I was telling somebody the other day is I had a bad day one day. And so I laid on the couch and I turned on America's Funniest Home Videos and I just watched that for a couple of hours. So that's where TV is a good release and a distractor for me.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome that you have that, had that, to bring you back.
Yeah. Well, cause I was like, okay, I don't want to do anything. And I was thinking, what do I want to watch? And I was like, I don't want to watch anything that's going to potentially push me further into a bad mood. So America's Funniest Home Videos, it's funny.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
And it's wholesome and it's good. And it was great. It did what it needed to do. It got me
absolutely
better. Okay. Here's one that's unique for you. And I'm very interested in this one. Would you rather run a 5K or a 50K?
Definitely a 50K.
I knew it.
Okay. I would rather do a 50K. But my first thought is, am I doing this by myself or am I doing this with other people? Because as I've done a lot of these different endurance races, as I've done Ironmans, 50K, 50 miler, 100 miler, and Ultraman, I've realized that I used to think that I really liked doing the challenges. But what I'm realizing is what I actually like is doing the challenges with other people. So it's the combination of doing something hard with other people that I love that actually makes it really enjoyable for me. So that's why I say, can I bring somebody along to the 50K with me? Okay. Then I'm bringing you along and we're doing it together.
Yep. I'll do it. Well, and what's great about what you said that I hope people made the connection because I did, that's life.
So true.
I mean, life is a 50 miler that just doesn't end. And if you're doing it by yourself, how are you going to get through the nighttime? How are you going to get through those difficult challenges that are going to come up? And that's with people around you.
So true. And that's probably been one of the biggest things that I've learned from endurance races, but also as I'm building my business, because right now I am a solopreneur. I'm building out my business, and I've always been a team guy. I always played team sports. I loved leading a team, being a part of a team, and I'm not at the point yet with my business where I have a full team, but that's where I want to get to. And that's been a challenge for me as mm-hmm. I've been building it and not feeling that connection as much with other people. So that's why it means so much to me having you as a friend and as a mentor and just feeling that sense of belonging as you're building and working towards something.
Yeah. And I just can't imagine people that have accepted that they're by themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That they don't have anybody around them, because that's just, it's not a good place to be. And I've experienced depression before, and long bouts of it where you do feel like you're all by yourself. But if there's anything that we can encourage you, is you're not by yourself, and
so
there's
true.
People around you. And that's what's great about community. And then ultimately is that me and like you is having the faith that Jesus and God is never far away. They're right here next to us. Is that, you know, when people don't have that, it hurts my heart to think that they feel that lonely, that they don't have anybody.
Yeah. And I know, like, you and I have talked about the quote, like, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And it's just so, so true. And there's a lot of different ways, like through social media, that you can connect with people who have similar interests. Like I have mixed feelings about social media sometimes. But really one of the best things is if you are really interested in a specific topic, there's so many people that you'll be able to connect with around that topic, probably even more so than in your local area or even in some of your family members. They may not be as interested in some of the same things that you are. So finding the tools, finding the community, finding your tribe is a huge part of just feeling fulfilled in what you're doing.
Definitely. It's like match.com for friends.
Yeah. I mean, like it's not, you know, like at my age, like how do you actually make friends if you're not in an office and you're not working directly with somebody? It's, you need to find friends around the activities that you're interested in.
Oh, some of my strongest friendships aren't anywhere near me.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
And some of them I've never met in person. It's been some of them probably 3+ years, maybe 4 years, and I've never met them in person.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy how that changes. You know, like growing up, you just make friends with the people in your neighborhood and school, your sports teams, and this is like the new way to make friends now, what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the last one is, would you rather have pizza or tacos?
That's another easy one. I had pizza at my wedding with my wife. That's how much we love pizza. Pizza all the way. Breakfast pizza, you know, deep dish, thin crust, all of it. I'm here for it.
As long as there's bread, sauce, and cheese.
Yeah, it's a win. I mean, tacos are good too, but pizza's undefeated.
Yeah. Like if you could pick your favorite toppings on a pizza, what would they be?
We would go with a deep dish, spicy Hawaiian pizza. So I know this may be controversial, but I do love pineapple, and I do believe it belongs on pizza. Some spicy sausage, some mushrooms, some onions, some green peppers. That's definitely the way to go.
That's awesome. But yeah. Not only is it controversial because you put pineapple on your pizza, but you also said deep dish. So you have those two different schools. So you've created a controversial post.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this doesn't get taken down or something.
Yeah. Well, they say that controversy, if you can create division, that's what makes you an influencer. So maybe that's your next post.
I hate that though, because it's funny saying I hate that. Like I one of my strengths is harmony. So like I'm always the person in the team that's like getting people to work together and, you know, doesn't see a lot of value in the like the disagreements part. And that's one thing I've had to like also like work through and realize, okay, there's a ton of value in that. So I know what you mean, like in creating the polarity with your content. So
what's funny is one of my highest liked reels was the one that I put out about creating controversy and saying that I hate celery, because I do legitimately hate celery. I had more comments on that than I have on probably 75% of the things that I put up.
Isn't that funny? Like you have this mission of, you know, sharing your heart and glorifying God and inspiring other people to go on and do amazing things. And you've done hundreds or thousands of posts on that. And then you do one on celery and people love it. I think that's hilarious.
And I guess it's a good lesson for you and I, as we're just brainstorming and thinking out loud. It's just sticking your flag into the ground and having a standard and saying, this is what I believe in and you're not going to change my mind. And
yeah.
It so happened it was celery that I was talking about.
That's good. Well, you're lucky. I don't really have any strong opinions about celery here. Or it's not like I love celery, you know, but that's amazing.
Yeah. If it disappeared, I'd be A-okay.
I think I would be okay with it too. It doesn't really add much.
No purpose. And then people are like, well, if you put like ants on a log, you put peanut butter and raisins. I was like, okay, that's a weird combination anyways. And then on celery, I'll just have peanut butter and raisins. I don't need the celery. I'll get a spoon. Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Okay. Well, Mario, just, I know that we have similar networks, but there's a potential that you'll be bringing people in that aren't aware of what this podcast is. And so the Pathways to Greatness podcast, I started it for the purpose to bring people like yourself on to share what your definition of greatness is, because I want people to understand and realize that everybody has a different definition of greatness, and you should never allow someone to tell you what greatness is. It's something that's personal and individual, and you can have influences, but it's something that people need to understand and identify themselves. The other thing is that having people share that greatness is not a linear path. It's ups and downs. It's like Ultraman. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen and go wrong, but how you endure is the only way you can get across the finish line. And that comes to the last point, is just, I don't want people to quit. I want to keep people motivated, inspired, and equipped. So not just the inspiration, the motivation, but how do you keep going? Like, what are the things to do? And so that's the purpose of the podcast. So I'll ask you, what is your definition of greatness?
I love this. I think it's a great question. So for me, like, my definition of greatness is using my story and my strengths to serve other people. I just think that there's every single person that's listening to this, you have a story and you were created for a reason. You have strengths, you have talents, and you have gifts. And the best way, I believe, to use those is to help other people. That's one of the biggest things. Like, growing up, my dad was a football coach, a teacher. He was involved with FCA as well. I see you're rocking the FCA shirt. Yeah. And he always said, like, purpose is using your strengths to meet the world's greatest need. And so I've kind of adapted that just based off of my own experience, but that's my definition.
That's a great definition. So you talked about it earlier, about setting off in a brand new chapter of life. So you've got a young family and you had a job, and then all of a sudden you've shifted and you've decided to create your own coaching business. So one, talk to us about, what was the factor that made you feel so strongly to walk away from one and start something that was completely unknown?
So I would say, 10 years ago, I was, had my first job out of college. I studied education and I was teaching high school Spanish. And after the first year of teaching, like, I loved the relationships with the kids, but I felt a little limited being in a classroom. And I started searching for new potential routes that I could take, and ended up getting connected with a startup company in Iowa. And at the time, it was one of the biggest decisions that I was faced with. Do I keep going down this path of education and, you know, become a teacher and a coach, or do I explore this unknown world of entrepreneurship? And I decided to explore the unknown and move from Minnesota to Iowa and start working at a startup. And I loved it. I just grew so much. I was very stimulated in, like, a fast growing competitive environment. I loved the people that I worked with. And that was the first time that I chose the uncertain path, because up until that moment, I always just kind of took the safe route. And so then I found myself, again, recently being curious about, like, why was I created, and how could I serve more people doing my own thing. And I was faced with the same decision again. Do I keep working at this job that I was really good at? It was comfortable. We were doing some cool things, building mobile apps, or do I explore the unknown? And if I feel like I made one of the best decisions of my life choosing the unknown the previous time, I felt like that was just good evidence for taking that uncertain path again. And I just knew if I never gave myself the opportunity to try and build my own business, I think it would be one of those things that I would look back on and I would regret. And so I just know that this is why I was created. I have a story to tell. I have a lot of strengths to share, and I want to impact other people with that.
That's awesome. And what I want people to focus on is that in your journey for greatness, there are going to be times of uncertainty.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look down the path, you're going, okay, I have no idea where this is going to go next, but I think this is the way.
Yeah. And just to build off of that, like one thing that I'm really big on is having like a strong long-term vision. So a 5-year, a 10-year vision of what do you want your life to look like? So I knew that if I want to be at this certain place in 5 to 10 years, then I need to make certain decisions to help me get there. So the vision was there, but it's always hard making that change. And then once you make that change and you're now on your own, growing your own business, there's highs and lows like you know about in terms of highs and lows with revenue, with your belief in yourself. And yeah, like it's not like you just make this decision and you feel really good about it at the time. And that's how you feel 100% of the time. It is a daily high and low of like one moment I'm feeling on top of the world. I'm coaching a client, just feeling super energized and absolutely loving it. And then a few hours later, I'm doubting myself and unsure, like, what the heck am I doing? Should I get another job? Then after that, you hear, you know, some positive feedback on a piece of content or a podcast. And it's just like this emotional roller coaster. And that's why what I call like inner endurance or resilience or grit is so important, because if you believe in your long-term vision, if you believe that this is what you're meant to do, then you need to be able to push through the low moments to fully like be on the path of greatness.
Yeah. So help people, because there's no question, me included, that people they're battling with those insecurities. They're battling with finding that inner resilience, defining that grit that they need. How do you help people identify that and then create a system to consistently battle the ups and downs?
Yeah, such a great question. And I would be curious how you overcome it and what you help other people with. But the way that I think about this is, I think the way that I would prepare for a race is the way that I prepare for the ups and downs that I experience in business on a daily basis. So if I'm preparing for one of the biggest races of my life, I'm going to expect that there's going to be adversity. So I'm going to anticipate that there's going to be obstacles. And what I typically do before a race is I list out, what are the things that I'm worried about? If that happens, what are two things that I'll say to myself? And then what's one thing that I'll do to overcome it? So you prepare for the adversity ahead of time, and like, you know that it's going to happen. And so then when it actually happens, you kind of have a plan for it. So that's the first thing that I would say. But then another tool that I use is, anytime I experience adversity and I have like a low after it, I have a checklist that I've written out and prepared ahead of time of like a message that I have typed out to myself. Say, hey, Mario, like, you're experiencing a setback right now. You're probably doubting yourself. That's okay. Let me remind you of a few things. God created you for this. This is an opportunity for growth. This is going to help you coach somebody else through this in the future. Here are some things that you need to do. Journal, meditate, pray, move your body. And I find that having those tools are the things that actually help you deal with it when it does happen. So I try and prepare ahead of time and then also have like specific things that I can do when I'm in those lows. But is there anything that you do or anything that you think about or anything that you say to help build resilience in your everyday life?
Yeah. And I really like what you shared, and then I'll get to mine, is that I want people to hear is that you prepare. So it's not that you're winging it. You literally are intentional about what obstacles that you'll have in front of you. And I used a quote, and most people have heard it, that Mike Tyson talked about, is that, you know, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
So I like to say, but every boxer knows they're going to get punched in the face. So they're not surprised when it happens. They know how to react and know how to respond. Now, you don't know when that punch is going to happen. You just know that it's going to happen at some point. And the severity of the punch also dictates how you respond. So I really like what you stated and how you list out the plan for the adversity. How are you going to handle it? And then I also like how you have typed out statements to yourself to bring you back at that moment. I do something similar, and I learned it from David Goggins doing the accountability mirror.
Oh, so yes.
I love sticky notes, and those create mantras in my head. Is that when I first, you know, 5 years ago, when that book first came out, my mirror was covered because I was just in a place where I just needed focus. I needed to be sure of myself. I needed to create a new me because I didn't like the old me, because I quit all the time. I avoided so many things that were difficult. And just a lot of different things that I was working through, and I needed that constant reminder. And I see it, and I also feel it. Most people just aren't willing to be intentional and own those things, that it's okay, because you're not going to be perfect all the time. And so I have to remind myself that as well. It was just like the other day on Halloween, I wasn't feeling good. So I just said, okay, I don't feel good. Now, why? So I went through the triggers. I understood where they were coming from. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you, I'm talking to myself. I talk to myself all the time. I'm like, I'm going to give you this time to just sit here and get through it. And when you're ready, you're ready, but it can't last more than today. And I knew it was Halloween, so I needed to, you know, get ready to hang out with other people and see people. And where used to, I would have wallowed in that. I would have taken out all of my disappointment, my fear, all the different emotions that could come up. I would take it out on other people. And not that I'm an angry person, but I would have been short. I would have been probably resentful. I would have allowed the devil to tell me lies in my head that would have just compounded and went over and over. And so it was through that recognition of the post-it notes before that prepared me for this. And then creating a personal mission statement of how I want to show up every day.
Yep.
And this, I did this during the David Goggins time. And this is what we do with clients as well, is the idea of how do I want to show up today? And then reprogramming my brain to the point where I don't need to read it every day because that's who I show up as. And so those things have helped create resilience for me. And then also it's getting out and moving. When I feel that, I just have to move. Because if I just sit there on the couch, I'm not going to get through it. And all it's going to do is I ruminate really bad. And so at least if I get out and sweat and do something difficult and hard, that gets my mind off of that and breaks that cycle.
So many good takeaways there from like the accountability mirror and the messages to yourself and being intentional and giving yourself grace when you're in a low, but time boxing it. Like there's a lot of good stuff in there. And I think like a big thing too, is it sounds like you have the mindset of like being a learner through this. Okay. What happened? What did I do well? What do I want to try differently? How can I be better tomorrow? And when you start to have that time to just ask yourself those questions and give yourself that space and the reflection when that happens, you can then learn from it and prepare the next time. And when you do that, and when I coach other people through that as well, that time from when you experience adversity and when you struggle, like maybe a few months ago, it was a day or a couple of days that would set you back. When you start to recognize what's throwing you off and how you can improve, that time starts to condense down to where it becomes minutes where you're able to bounce back. And that's where true like inner endurance or resilience can be really powerful.
Do you, when you're going through situations like that, everybody has something that triggers them. Are you able to, and it's a loaded question, I'm sure that you are, but identifying the triggers that push you into that low?
I've done a lot of reflection, a lot of work on myself. Like I know what a lot of my triggers are. Like for me, the fear of rejection is one big thing. And I'm able to recognize that one. Sometimes like the fear of what other people think about me is another one. So those are probably the two main ones, but there are still other things that start to throw you off that you don't really anticipate. And that's where, if you just put yourself through that learning process, like, whoa, what was that? Like, I'm feeling a little off right now. What caused that? Then that's what helps you find any new trigger.
Yeah. One of the things that I've realized about me when I'm looking for the trigger is I try to figure out, okay, why do I want that right now? So if I'm craving Chick-fil-A French fries, which they're amazing. Or something to that effect. Cause through my entire life, I've tied food with emotion. So if I'm craving something and I immediately want something, then I immediately ask myself, why do I want that right now? And then understanding that, and then saying, okay, well, now that I know I want that, now it's up to me to have a choice, because I don't want the trigger to dictate what I go towards. I want to choose. If I want French fries, I'm going to get it, but I don't want the trigger to constantly push me that way.
Yeah.
So then I can make a choice to go one way or the other and say, okay, well, I'm disappointed, or I'm aggravated, or something happened that just is annoying. And so that's why I want to go eat, because I'm looking for a quick feel. And some people use other unhealthy vices when things like that happen. And I think that's a critical way to help you identify a trigger of, why do I want to go do that, and create a new relationship between the trigger and what you reach for first.
That's a huge thing that I actually just recently realized. Like, why do I want ice cream so bad at the end of the day? Like, cause I run all the time, I work out all the time, but I also have like this major sweet tooth. And then I started thinking about it recently, like, why do I feel like the need to have ice cream? And what I realized is that I wanted a reward. I wanted like a pat on the back at the end of the day for like working hard. Like, where does that come from? Like, oh, after baseball games and stuff when growing up, when we won the tournament or when we won the game, like, where would we go? We would go and get ice cream. So it's funny, like you saying all of that, I've recently realized that, yeah, a lot of times when I want like food or ice cream or something, like really what I want is just like almost like a pat on the back, like, hey, like, good job, you're working hard. So yeah, I think that's a really powerful thing to realize.
Well, and as adults, how many times is it, we just closed the big deal, let's go get a drink at the bar.
Absolutely.
Or go do something to that effect, when it's, why can't you say, we just closed a big deal, let's go run a 5K.
Let's go run a 50K. That's and right. Celebrate.
Yeah, we might say that, but most normal people wouldn't. But it's still is that relationship. Because again, people can have an unhealthy relationship with exercise.
It's true. Yeah, definitely.
I know people that's their way to punish themselves for things that they've done in their life, is like, I'm just going to run myself into the ground because that's what I deserve.
Or prove to yourself that you can do something, or like that, fueling that sense of achievement or accomplishment, because that's a big part of someone's identity. I've definitely realized that as well. Like sometimes I feel this need to achieve and feel this need to do some of those things, where now I realize what I actually love is just having like an experience, a memorable experience with people that I love. And it's just a really fun way to bond. So I know exactly what you mean.
So let's stay there for a minute, because when you start a business, you have two different directions that you can take. Is the motivation success, or is the motivation fulfillment and creating impact and helping others? And how do you balance the two? And is one more right than the other?
Oh, man. I wish I had the answer to this one. I have no idea. Honestly, I don't, but I don't think that they are, you know, exclusive things. I don't think that you choose one or the other. I think it becomes, what does it look like for you to have both? Like, how can you find, again, it comes back to, how can you use your strengths and your story to serve other people? If you're using the things that you are good at, and you're using your story, like the mess of your story, the things that you've overcome, to serve other people, to help other people, I find that that's a good sweet spot for both fulfillment and success. Because when you're helping other people achieve something, then I think it helps in both of those areas. That's how I think about it currently. But I would love your take on that. Are there any thoughts that you have, or anything that you've learned?
Yeah, well, you can't tie things on to financial success, because at least for me, because then I would be devastated for the past 2 years because I haven't had it.
Mm.
But what I've had is the fulfillment in seeing people, like you said, helping people, seeing people see themselves in a different light, in a positive light, going for something that they never thought they would either had the capacity to go for or didn't. It's also seeing people break an unhealthy perspective of themselves.
Yeah.
A young man that he talked about how he was just a bad student, college wasn't for him. And then we went through it. He was just highly disorganized. It created a ton of anxiety in his life every single day, to where he hated school because he didn't know how to just create a schedule. And we worked together for 12 weeks, and he's like, he re-enrolled in school. He's
amazing.
He's got two jobs. He's still passing school. We meet on a regular basis, and you know, to see him have these aha moments of, I was able on Sunday to sit down and just watch Netflix, and I didn't feel any anxiety because I had nothing to do. I had everything completed that I needed to do. And it's just neat to see that. But if I was solely dependent on financial success, I would have bagged this thing a long time ago and went back and got a job.
Mm.
And so for me, it's, and that's going to be another question that I have for you, is I truly believe I'm on the right path. Now, whether or not it's the end goal of where God wants me, he's got me right where he wants me. And we all have to accept that. And like, I have no pull, no resistance, nothing that's saying get on LinkedIn and start looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm busier than I've ever been. And I know that the fruit will come. You know, the work is going into place. I'm cultivating, I'm tilling the soil, I'm getting everything ready. The fruit will come, because I wouldn't be on this path if there wasn't the goal that needed to be fulfilled, because I feel fulfilled every day.
Mm.
And so it's translating that eventually, like you said, is into financial success, because I need to support my family.
Yeah.
I need to do those things because we all have bills to pay. But for me right now, it was the scariest decision I made to not go back and get a full-time job and to launch out on this process. And I realized how ill-equipped I was, even though I've managed $100 million of business that I've been in charge of and big budgets and all these things. But when you start with nothing, you start on the ground level and it's just you, it is not for the faint of heart.
It's not. And I just feel everything that you're saying. Like, you know, I was thinking, you know, I've got 10 years of experience. I've been podcasting. You know, I thought I would be able to like really figure it out by now based off of my background, my expertise. But yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And this is where I just always like bring it back to endurance, because that's been such a big part of my life. When I first started with triathlons, I didn't even really swim. I didn't own a bike. I didn't know how to ride a road bike, and I never really ran for exercise, but I just stuck with it. And I kept signing up for different races, and I loved it, learned from other people. And a decade later, I did the Ultraman, which 34 people from around the world, from 17 different countries, did this year. So it took me a decade, but I went from not really being able to bike or swim to doing one of the hardest things in the entire world. And then how can I apply that same process to my business? Well, it just becomes, I need to stick with it. I need to have grit. I need to find the right people around me. And the hardest part for me, because I know that it's true, if I stick with it, it's just going to work. And in a lot of ways, it's already working. But the hardest part is not being sure of what that timeline is, right? Yes. You know, because it's like, all right, like I know this in this race, I know when it ends, I know when I can get through it. Even when it's 100 miles, I know it's going to be about 24 hours. But in this infinite game of entrepreneurship, it doesn't really end. There's no like date. So the hardest part for me has been learning patience. And I don't have the patience. I haven't learned that skill yet. And that's where I think you and I have really connected over. That's where faith comes in.
Yes.
Faith is what fuels you to have the patience to pursue the mission. That's the hardest part for me.
Yeah. And that's like with a race, Ultraman, 100 miler, there's a finish line.
Exactly.
And there's a timeline. There's a time limit.
Yeah.
If you don't hit that. And even with 29029, as hard as it was, we knew at some point we could get off the mountain.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if you had to keep walking up that mountain until they told you to stop.
And yeah, and you never knew. Yeah.
No. And it feels like you're like, how many more of these laps?
Yeah, that's basically what entrepreneurship is, right? It's like you're doing this thing that you believe in. You're feeling good about it. There's definitely some highs and lows. There's doubt. But the real like joy is doing it, is having the opportunity to do the work. So I don't know. It's wild, and I don't have it all figured out yet. And I'm grateful that we have been able to connect and bond over it.
Yeah, because you have to. And if it wasn't like you put it up a few days ago, or actually probably now a few weeks ago, where you were just struggling. You had a rough day, yep, rough week, whatever it was. And I'm sitting there thinking, bro, I'm right there with you. And maybe that week I wasn't in that spot, but I've been in that spot, and I know I'm going to be back in that spot. And it's just like grief feels like you're in it forever.
And yes.
As time goes on, it's not a month that you're grieving. It's now 3 weeks, and then it becomes 2 weeks, and it's every other day. And it's not that it doesn't disappear. It's just not all the time, every day. So I lost my dad 32 years ago to cancer. Well, it was a rough, probably decade after that, in the sense of I just didn't know how to grieve. And there's still days 32 years later that will surface, and I'm missing.
Yeah.
But it's not like an everyday thing, because there were times where I couldn't even have said those words without breaking down. And it still catches me every now and again when I talk about it. And that's okay. And that's where people need to understand, is that as they're battling, the days are long. Sometimes the months are even longer, but it's through a connection and being able to just somebody just go, I hear you, I feel you. Let's hug it out, virtual yeah. or not, whatever it is. And that's where community is so important.
So true. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with me.
And that's what's cool. Again, talking about 29029 is knowing, and then you with the Ultraman, is everybody that was out there could relate. Is you yes. had that connection and a bond because you're all in it at the same time. You all know how hard it is. Like, even though, like on the mountain, you were faster than I was, you had the same hard as I was. The mountain was still hard.
Yeah. And again, there, like, everybody was in it together. It wasn't really like a competition. It was, there's so much community and collaboration there. And I think that's another really powerful example of like how to approach business and entrepreneurship as well. If we approach it from a place of like, how can I support you? How can you support me? Because we're both better for it. Then that's where everybody wins.
And to me, Mario, this is a great example of having a pathway to greatness with other people. Like, this conversation is it. It's, I mean, everybody, so there was no format. It went completely all over the place.
Yeah.
All gold for sure, because it's just, it's us talking through the things that are in our head, and you've got to find somebody. If I can't stress it enough, find someone that you can do this with, because you can't do it alone. We're not designed to do this alone.
Not at all.
If you try, that's a sure sign of failure.
100%. Yeah. And I like that it's pathways, because, you know, your path veers in different directions and there's multiple paths. And it's definitely not a straight line. It's just not. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like with your Ultraman, you knew where you needed to be.
Yeah.
You knew how to get to there in a rough course that you had to be on. Mm-hmm. But your steps weren't in the exact place of every other person that finished before you or after you.
Oh, yeah. And like a big part of success with that event was a lot of the volunteers were alumni. They had done the event before. So, you know, 15 minutes before the event, I'm like asking people like, hey, what should I do about this? What should I do about that? They're like, oh, don't do that. Like, do this instead. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go with whatever they recommend. So it's just building off of what you mentioned, like learn from people who are ahead of you, who have figured out the path, and want to support you.
Yeah. So what would be something you would want to leave the audience with?
I think I would want to leave the audience with one of the biggest things that helped me when I was first starting out was this quote of like, no matter how small you start, start something that matters.
Mm.
And for the longest time, I wanted to start something. I wanted to start a podcast. I wanted to start a business. I wanted to start training. And the hardest part is just starting. And so the way to overcome that mental gap to starting is just to make it really small. And so no matter how small you start, start something that matters. It's a quote from Brendon Burchard that it's always stuck with me. And even now, as I'm on this path, I have big plans, I have a big vision, but I just need to remind myself, like, start small and keep showing up. So that's what I would leave people with.
That's perfect. I'm going to add absolutely nothing. So how can people find and follow you, Mario?
Well, first of all, thank you, Jeff, for inspiring me on this path and for being like such a big mentor and a friend on this journey. Like, I'm extremely grateful for you. And I'm so grateful that we had this time together. And I just want to encourage you to keep going, because I believe in you and I believe in what you're doing and helping adults and teens with what you're doing. So I just want to say thank you. But if anybody wants to follow me, my name is Mario Minert, mario.minert on Instagram. That's where I mainly post content. And then my podcast is called Talking Endurance and Mastery. And that's where I talk about how to have the inner endurance to apply that to your everyday life and achieve your goals. And so, yeah, thank you.
Nope, that's awesome, Mario. Hang on one second. Everybody, please go find and follow Mario. I'll have everything in the show notes below. And again, Mario, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. You're the man.